Today we're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we're back. We're super excited to share with you some behind the scenes look at our adventures that we were having this week, along with some deep conversation about what it means to confront brutal reality and how that relates to fighting the current in your life.
It's not going to be easy.
What's easy is floating downstream.
What's easy is being like everyone else.
You were made to stand out.
You were put here for a reason.
Normal isn't working anymore.
Look around.
Look around at the people who are giving you advice.
Do they have the results you're looking for?
I'm proposing a radical change.
It's time to fight.
It's time to fight the current.
What's up, guys? Danny Campisi here. I'm joined with Aaron Thomas. We're here in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, looking over a sunrise here. We have a lot of awesome things planned for 2019. This is the first episode of 2019. We're back. I know we
better ghost- than ever.
I know we ghosted you all, so but we're back, and we actually have big plans. We have big plans on a lot of different people that we'd like to interview. We want to get on a consistent rhythm this year with podcasts, and we're kind of just gonna shoot the crap here a little bit and just talk about our trip. We're actually in, like I said, Myrtle Beach. We're here with Aaron's grandparents and his,
I guess, aunt, great aunt,
great aunt,
my dad's aunt. So whatever that
Pat
that is,
they have a condo here, and they always rent another condo and just are awesome. So shout out to Barb, Tony, and Pat if you're listening to this.
Yeah, they're awesome, man. Great people.
They basically just spoil us and take us to...
They won't let us pay for anything. No food, no meals.
Right. They didn't make us pay for those 41 wings I ate last night.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Aaron and I had a contest on wing eating, and let's just say I smoked them.
I tapped out at 19. Danny had 41 wings.
They were good.
But he didn't go for the full 50, so... Nine more, and you could have had a solid 50 wings.
You didn't even go
wings.
For the 21.
I'm okay with that.
You can explain.
I'm okay with
You're just cutting right now, right?
I am.
No, we're having an awesome time. We went through a lot of interesting experiences. We'll just share some of those on the way here, of course. I swear I collect speeding tickets in every state. And that's kind of my thing.
He was able to cross off Virginia this time.
Yes. The cop's like, you're going a little bit fast, so I'm going to have to pull you over.
That great Southern hospitality.
Yes, he was like so nice while he gave me a ticket.
So nice while saying, hey, you know, if you drive over the speed limit of 80, you're a reckless driver.
Right. So it was a 70, and I was driving 84, and he's like, if it's over 80... That's reckless driving in the state of Virginia.
And the best part is Danny sped up right in front of the cop. It wasn't even like he was just cruising down the road at 84. He was going to pass a car, sped up right in front of the cop.
Yeah, I can explain. Well, let's talk about the other cop incident, Aaron. What happened with the other cop? Because we had two cop incidents on the way to Myrtle Beach.
We did.
And we drove from good old Dover, Pennsylvania, which is about 9 hours away.
Yeah. So, in case you guys can't tell, I'm sick right now. So it's
not sick in the head.
Fantastic to be sick over vacation. But we were driving down here on Monday, and I had a sore throat at the time. And we got a little bit on the ways, and Danny had this great idea. And Dr. Campisi at work said, hey, have a great home remedy for you.
For a sore throat.
For a sore throat. It's going to clear it up in a day. So I was like, all for it, you know? Like,
you were a little hesitant.
I was a little hesitant.
When you found out what it was.
But the fact that it could be gone tomorrow, I was willing to try it. So he's like, yeah, you just got to get apple cider vinegar and you got to drink it. And I've heard of people mixing it in with water and like drinking it that way, but it, like, it's only ever like 2 teaspoons and a whole bottle of water. He's like, no, you gotta just drink it straight. So we stop at a Family Dollar. I pick up a full bottle of apple cider vinegar and get in the car. I drove down the road. Danny's giving me his little pep talk of, you just gotta do it, gotta just drink it straight, and then have your water bottle in hand, and then just chug the water bottle right after it. So I'm like, okay, I ain't not gonna do it now. So
can I just jump in here? Aaron and I always challenge each other, and we'll talk about several other challenges we did this week at Myrtle Beach. Nothing is ever vacation with us when we're together. It's like always, oh, I dare you to, we're gonna have a winging in contest, or we're gonna race here, or let's go for a run in the morning here. But watching Aaron get pumped about this. He was so pumped. He was like, all right, I'm going to do it. And he had the apple cider vinegar in his left hand and the water bottle in his right hand. And let's just say he went in. He went for the chug of the apple cider vinegar. For anyone who's ever done that, you know it makes you want to gag. So take it from there.
Yeah, so it wasn't like an instantaneous, like, I don't like this. It was like, it was down there. Like, it was done. The deed was done. I had the water. I don't know why. Like, I know, like, I see it now. I had the water in my hand, and I waited like a good solid 15 seconds, maybe 10 seconds.
I give it 5.
Okay, maybe 5. So then I try to drink this water, and my body wasn't having it. So may I mind you, before this incident, literally 10 minutes probably 10 minutes before this, we had just ate at Wendy's. I had a number 11, 6-piece of chicken tenders and French fries. So that sets the scene for what is to come. So I drank this vinegar. Obviously, didn't drink the water to follow up. And I started throwing up. I had French fries coming out of my nose. It burned so bad because it was apple cider vinegar going somehow from my throat, up into my nose, out of my nose. I'm not sure how the body works and how that happens, but it hurt like crap.
Let me share my perspective. I'm in the car.
Meanwhile, Danny's in the car laughing his head off.
I'm in the car. I look over. He takes he drinks the apple cider vinegar and then hits his knees and throws up multiple times. I'm talking about legit throws up. I think this is funny, and I know that certain people in my family, when they listen to this, they're going to laugh because it seems like every time Aaron and I are together, he's throwing up. It's either at the gym or on a run. And
you know, I never thought of that until you said that.
This
but
is the third time
that Danny has witnessed me blow chunks.
Basically, I have made you throw up. And oh my gosh, it was hilarious. He was on his knees and just like full on throwing up, and it was just the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. So then
comes in cop number one of the trip.
Cop number two?
No, you got pulled over after.
Was it really?
Yes. Oh. Cop number one comes up to the side. And I'm on my knees throwing up. And I hear Danny say something like, look, man, you made the cop stop. I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? So I look. There's this cop. He has his little blue light on. And
yeah, he literally turned his lights on because you're on your knees on the side of the road.
He's probably like, this idiot's like doing some type of drug, like whatever. So he's talking to Danny. Danny's like, everything's fine. Like, he just drank apple cider vinegar and now he's throwing up. Like, it's all good here. And
cop's like, man, that stuff's bad for your teeth, man.
The cop was like concerned. He's like, yeah, you got to be careful with that stuff, man. Like, you don't mess around. So then eventually the cop left. And then in the next probably 2 hours, I was in the car blowing my nose, and there were still chunks of chicken and fries coming up.
In his nose, out of his nose. That's crazy.
It was gross.
I think we need to change the subject, or some people are going to get sick and turn this off.
I agree.
But yeah, we're having an awesome time. We are right inside, but looking out our balcony at the sunrise. We've been sleeping to the sound of the ocean. For people who do that, you know that's the best way to sleep.
Dude, I slept like a rock this entire week.
Like a stone. It could have been that NyQuil, though.
I loved it, man.
You loved the NyQuil? I don't know if that's something you should admit.
I love both of it, sleeping like a baby and NyQuil.
So, also, I thought you were going to say something else.
No. I was done.
Since you're the mountain biker, let's talk about the...
Dude.
We found this awesome...
Okay, so this was sweet. So last
what was it called? We got to tell people about it so they can go. For anyone listening who's a mountain biker.
It was Horry County Bike and Run Park.
Which is spelled Horry.
Yes, with an H, but the H, I'm told, is silent. So, Horry County Bike and Run Park. And what's awesome is, so last year, Danny and I did the same trip together. We came down here for a week. We actually rented bikes from this one lady, and we just basically rode the beach. We rode some of the town, and it was cool. So this year, within the last year, I had bought a mountain bike and had a bike rack. So I was like, yeah, like I'll just bring my own bike. Danny can rent one, and we can just have fun for a couple of days. So while I was looking for places to rent bikes, there was this one bike shop, and they had this recommended like park that you should go to. So I was like, okay, like that, it sounds really cool, it looks really cool. So Danny rents a bike, we load them up on the car, drive probably about 20 minutes from our condo resort area here, and get to this bike park, and it is sweet. It's like it's like a racetrack with jumps and banks and turns and hills and steep
literally
declines.
Through the woods too, so only as wide as your bike, and you're going down extreme hills, and you're taking banks, and you're going down a hill, then you like go around the bank. Like it was fantastic, and it's free, and
it's awesome that it was made for bikes, so it was super well maintained. You didn't have like giant like rocks right in the middle where they're not supposed to be. They had like areas that are like carpeted, so like no rocks can get through, I guess. I don't know what the point behind that was, but it was awesome because it was made for mountain bike riding, and it was all one way, so you didn't need to worry about like hitting anyone, or you could go as fast as you wanted, and it was pretty cool, man. It was awesome.
Except for I didn't have a mountain bike.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that. I still don't have a mountain bike, so I rented the old dinky
beach
one
cruiser
that might as well have it might as well have a bell on it. Ding ding ding.
Last year they had baskets on. This one didn't have a basket, but
and I show up to this mountain bike park with all these guys with tattoos and like their shirts off and headphones on, and they're literally like working on bikes and looking all cool, and I show up with this beach cruiser. And let's just say it had one of those big fat seats, you know, those really comfortable ones. But I was like bouncing off it because they had springs. So we'd go over bumps and I'd be like bouncing up and down and have no shocks on these.
I think the best part is that your bike, so it's one of those like 5-year-old bikes that you get your kid, like your intro bike to getting like a big boy bike.
My first bike.
Yeah. And so Danny didn't have brakes on the handlebars like normal adult bikes do. So his brakes were the old, you push backwards and it breaks. So we're going like up and down these steep like turns and embankments, and Danny's doesn't have any brakes besides like pushing backwards. So.
Right, which didn't work. So I had to go very slow. But then we're rounding a bend. The one thing that was really cool about this, and another thing that was really cool about this, is it was actually right beside, I don't know, maybe that was an intercoastal waterway or maybe just a bay.
I think so.
But it would come up around hills and you'd see like this intercoastal waterway. And then we saw a neighborhood to our left, and there was this little path. So we just rode our bikes through that. Kind of like broke into the neighborhood.
It was a gated community that like literally there was no other entrance.
Yeah, so we found our own, we made our own gate.
Yeah.
And we rode bikes through this awesome neighborhood that had
gorgeous houses.
Yeah, beautiful houses. It was good for building your dream of what you can possibly accomplish one day. And yeah, we just had a good talk, and it was just really inspiring, kind of I don't know, I would say is an out-of-body experience, but it's just really like really awesome. And so we finished the day there, and then we met for 50 Cent Wings with his grandparents and his great aunt Pat. And but yeah, other than that, we've just been enjoying our time. We've been reading. You know, I brought the entire box set of all-in-one volume of The Chronicles of Narnia. I don't know. What are you reading right now?
Fathered by God.
Fathered by God by John Eldridge. He's the author of Wild at Heart. That's I've read that before, and that is a fantastic book. It's kind of supposed to be the sequel, right, to Wild at Heart?
Yeah.
So I know a lot of people listening to this have read that book. So, and if you haven't,
get it.
It's got to be the top three books I've ever read, and I've read a lot, and it's one of the best books in the world.
One of the things that I love about Eldridge is he's just like speaks so much truth. Like, you can, when he says stuff, it's just, oh my gosh, that makes sense. And in this book, it breaks up like the different stages that you go through as a man, and how you go through like the boyhood stage, and then the cowboy, and then the warrior, and it's just so cool. It's so true.
And you can see yourself in the story. Right. Everyone can see themselves at a different level.
Right.
And yeah, it's an awesome book. I know a couple times we never did it together, but I did a couple 4 mile runs. Aaron did some runs. Oh my gosh, let's talk about last night.
Yeah, last night was a good one. it was right after we had just watched The Notorious on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
the whole documentary about Conor McGregor.
Yeah, which was very inspiring.
So you don't watch that movie and not do anything.
Yeah, you can't go to bed after that.
So Danny decided, hey, let's go for a bike ride. So we ended up getting our bikes. This was at what, 9 o'clock at night, maybe?
Yes, it was 9.
9 o'clock. Get our bikes. Go for probably 2 miles up to this awesome nacho place.
Yes.
What's it called? The Nacho Hippo.
Nacho Hippo, yeah.
We ate there probably like Wednesday, Tuesday maybe of this week. Yes. So went in there, looped around, and then we said that we were going to ride the beach on the way back. So got on the beach. I was doing fine. Danny with his beach cruiser.
Wasn't doing fine.
Not so much. Hey, I wasn't looking
behind.
It may
be called a beach cruiser, but it doesn't even work on the beach.
And so I look behind me at one point, and I don't see Danny anywhere. I just see like this little black shadow.
Hey, Gom, are you saying I'm black?
No. I'm saying it was dark out. But so I wait around for him, and then again, going back to the whole challenging, we met up, and I was like, so are we going to run into the ocean? Get back to the resort and just run in full force. Got to go under in the cold ocean water.
You're not playing this up enough. It's late. It's probably, it's really not that cold. It's like 50s, I would say, at the time.
Yeah.
But nobody steps foot in this ocean. Probably one of the reasons is because this is basically retirement
trash.
Central.
Oh.
No, it's not trash.
The water is really dirty and gross. It's not anything like your nice Caribbean.
Well, I mean, it's not gross.
It's gross.
Well, that's a difference of opinion when it comes to the ocean. But
prefer water that I can actually see.
Like, no one listening to this is going to be like, Myrtle Beach is gross. Myrtle Beach is one of the most popular beaches in the world.
Well, they should probably go to the Caribbean.
Wow. You're just a status guy. So he's just like, basically, as always, because you can't be comfortable around Aaron. Oh, you won't just run into the water. Of course, you didn't prepare it. I was literally riding my bike with my pajama pants and a sweatshirt on. So we walk, we get to our beach front, which is right in front of the hotel, and literally you can see people in the condos like looking out, and you can see big spotlights on the ocean.
It's like the one part of the beach that's all lit up.
Exactly, because we're at this place called the Baywatch, and it's got like straight up floodlights looking over the beach because it's the rich guy hotel. But so we just took our clothes off. I kept my underwear on. Aaron had shorts, I think.
I did.
And we're just like, you know what? Let's just do it. I said, if we give up on small choices, if we let in on small choices, we're going to let in on big things. So
it wasn't just us on the beach either. There was this lady with a dog. We literally park our bikes.
This is probably around 10 o'clock at this point.
Yeah, almost next to her. Start taking off her shoes. Danny's stripping down. And then we just bolt. We just go in for it.
It was cold. It was more just uncomfortable because you didn't want to just jump into the ocean. It was also uncomfortable because I think it's really scary to jump in the ocean at night because I feel like shark bait.
Because sharks only eat people at night.
Yeah, even though I don't think they've ever eaten anyone at night. But it just seems like it. I mean, if you're listening to this and you're thinking that we're a bunch of wusses for doing that, next time you go to the beach at 10 p.m. in the winter, I want you to run into the ocean and get the whole way under. And then we'll talk. But the funniest part was when we came back and we were both sandy.
So wait, there's a part before that.
There's more.
So
wait, there's more.
So we get out of the water. We're running back. Lady with the dog still there. Talking to this lady with the dog. And then I'm like, okay, it's not over yet. We're not going to take the elevator. We're on the fifth floor. I was like, we're going to carry our bikes up to the room.
Yeah, I forgot about
so
that.
As if that wasn't enough, I suggested the stairs. But then Danny's like, the whole way up, can't let the bike even touch the ground. I was like, okay. So we're carrying our clothes, shoes, while carrying this bike up to the fifth floor. So we do that. And then we get back to the condo room. And you can continue, Danny.
And then we just, it's a hilarious story. We just take showers. There is two bathrooms in there. And I go to take off my boxers and I couldn't believe it. I see something on the floor. It's literally a little fish.
A little silver minnow.
It came with me. So the fact I jumped into the ocean and somehow killed a fish in the process. And it came with me all the way up into the room. And of course, Aaron says, when we're looking at it, I was like, you'll never believe what I found after he took his shower.
So I grab my phone, run in, take a picture of it. Just so that cute little keepsake. And then I'm like, you won't eat it, though.
So I ate it.
He ate the fish.
I just threw it in my mouth.
Swallowed it whole.
I like sushi, so.
I'm not sure that's on the same level.
I mean, you usually don't eat the entire fish.
He probably like got revived, and he's probably swimming around in your stomach now.
Probably. But yeah, that's kind of our adventure. So today is our last day. It's Friday morning. We got plans to meet the elders for lunch and for shopping, and then we're going to hit this cool glow bowling, mini golf type thing, and then we're getting back to old Dover. And like I said, we got big plans for 2019. We realize that we're world's most inconsistent podcasters, and we realize that you guys have that many people listen to our podcasts when we put them out. So we want to continue. We really believe in our message of fight the current. And clearly, with some of the stupid stuff that we have done this trip, and we are constantly trying to improve ourselves and just get better in all areas. And I think that leads to kind of the main topic I want to cover today. And that's just, first of all, before we do that, let's open this for a second so people can start hearing the ocean just for a little bit, and then we'll close it so they can hear it. I think it might be live. You hear that? That's awesome. We're in there. One thing that we always get to do when we're together long enough is bro talks and topics on just things that we may be struggling with at the time. And I'm always open to say that I'm a huge work in progress.
Same. And we are all.
Yeah. Far from where I want to be. So we talked. And I was kind of down. I just came back from a run, so usually you're on a high. But Aaron was trying to pull the...
I knew something was up.
Pull the evil out of me or something.
So, trying to help.
What were you trying to do? What did you notice, and what were you trying to do?
I just know that you were down, man. I could sense it.
How?
Like you said, usually when you get back from a run, you're just like, yeah, like I'm jacked up. Like, it was good. I could clear my mind. I asked you how your run was. It's good. Ran 4 miles. I'm like, yeah, Danny, you're a champ, you're a beast. Yeah.
Well, that's just because I know I am.
I mean, touche, but...
No, honestly, it started because I've been listening to this audiobook that I really enjoy, actually.
That makes one of us.
Aaron doesn't like it, but for people who are big on the podcast scene, you know, one of the biggest guys right now who's been floating around to several different podcasts is a guy named David Goggins, who is a Navy SEAL. He went through Ranger school, and he went through Delta. I'm not in the part of the book to see if he graduated Delta, but huge Special Forces guy. Grew up with a really tattered past, grew up dealing with racism, physical abuse, mental abuse. I mean, extreme physical and mental abuse. And now he's all about basically human optimization and pushing yourself beyond the limits that even the elite would push themselves. And he calls it uncommon in the uncommon. So, I mean, he's like a Navy SEAL and like talking bad about other Navy SEALs in the sense that they're not pushing themselves enough.
The guy's a savage.
He runs 100-mile races in a day and things like that. So
pees blood and vile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very inspiring
graphic novel.
But the talks, I've been listening to it on audiobook. I don't know if I covered that, but the talk's called, and the book is called Can't Hurt Me. And it is very motivating just to hear, you know, what he has overcome. So anyways, I guess Aaron thinks I listen to stuff like that too much. And
I just feel like there comes to a point where you lose the identity of the emotional connect with human beings. Not saying that Navy SEALs and all of that is bad, but I think you have to take it in healthy doses. You can't just go straight, like, pick up this identity of nothing's gonna hurt me, I have all my walls up, I'm just gonna fight to the very end, and nothing's gonna hurt me. Like, you gotta be real sometimes, you know?
Yeah, so that launched us into a conversation, talking about that, and yeah, it kind of really impacted me because I realized that I, in some ways, you know, we all hold on to lies from the past, right? And I think one of the things I want to talk about is get a good friend, get someone who you can literally say, and I just threw my hands up and I was like, what? So tell me what I need. What do you think I need?
you did too. Tell me how to live my life.
I was like, whatever. So tell me my blind spots. Everyone has blind spots. And I would recommend anyone listen to this, find someone who you love, find someone who you respect, and just say, be brutally honest.
That's true, man.
And let's confront brutal reality. And he pointed out things about my past, my view on relationships, and what has maybe happened in previous relationships. And, you know, it made me emotional, made me really reflect on the truth and lies that I believe and lies that I've accepted, and those aren't true of you. You know, those lies aren't true of me, and they're not true of you. So find someone who's willing to be honest with you, who's willing to tell you that you're way off base right now and you need help in this area, and I feel like you're struggling in this area. And if you're willing to humble yourself and listen to them, it'll help tremendously. So what do you think about that?
No, I agree. I think there's a huge tendency out there that people live in the past because that's all they know. And I'm a big believer in visualization and imagining what your new future is going to be. Because you can't, the past is in the past. Like, it is what it is. You can't go back and you can't change that. So I've always been, like, excited about what the future has to hold. And I try not to bring anything that happened in the future or anything that happened in the past into the future. So I think a blind spot with a lot of people is they go through circumstances. They might go through a season of depression. They might go through a season where they might not see themselves as that successful person, but you can't bring that with you, because if you bring that with you, you're never going to change that. You're never going to see into the bright future that other people around you, they see what you can't see as a person. You're always looking at yourself under a microscope. Like, oh, this didn't go well. Or, oh, I failed in that. I'm just a loser. But the people around you, like one of the coolest things that we get to do in the business that we do is helping people live the best life that they can.
Yeah.
And that's in all areas. That's in their career, excelling in their career. That's in their relationships, which is one that I love the most, is excelling in your relationship, that you're actually listening, you're actually evolving in your relationship together as a couple, which I think is hard to see when you're in the moment. But I know, like, looking at other people that I've been able to work with, I see the growth that they've had. But they don't necessarily see it. They might not necessarily see how much their confidence has risen. They might not have seen how much their listening skills have increased. But those around you, like, you can see. And I think that's exactly what I see in you, Danny. I see all the greatness that you have in you and all the potential that you have. But unless you realize that you can't live in the past and you have to move forward to that present, you just can't live your life that way. You can't live your life dwelling on what happened in the past, and you can't bring that into future relationships. You can't let something that happened in one relationship 4 years ago into a relationship that you currently have, because that's just going to add stuff to that new relationship that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it kind of is like driving. If you were to drive your car and look in the rearview mirror the entire time, you'll obviously crash because you're just looking behind you. But to be real, there are people out there, including myself, who failed over and over in many circumstances. Who
I have think a everyone hard time, can relate to that.
Who have a hard time seeing the future. And maybe people listen to this, like myself at times, have a hard time believing in yourself. Have a hard time believing that you can make it. And again, this is the Fight the Current podcast, where we're not trying to be egomaniacs, where we're not trying to act like we have it all figured out. This whole podcast, this whole journey is about the idea of continual improvement. I know the word, the Japanese word Kaizen, means continuous daily improvement. And that's the path that we're on. And sometimes it seems like you're going backwards, but really you're not. You're getting stronger, even if you're falling back, and you're getting stronger as you move forward. So I took a long walk on the beach the one day by myself and listened to some music on the way down. It was about two or three miles. And then I walked back and just kind of talked to myself, talked to God, and realized that I'm kind of in a mess. I mean, I'm going through yet another job transition, which is the third this year, the third in probably 7 months, that I'm kind of being forced to move again. Finances are at an all-time low. I've hit my knees a little bit in life. And I just, on the way back, I was just thinking, oh, it's so hard to see the future now, because all I can see is my current circumstance. All I can see is where, like, what's in front of me. And I was always, you know, always had a huge vision for my life. But sometimes you fail. Sometimes you fall. Sometimes you hit your knees. And you just have to pick yourself up. And here's what I talk to myself and the message that I received. And I feel like this is going to help someone that's listening to this that maybe is in the same position where you feel like you've failed over and over and again, and you have a hard time believing that you can get back to the mountaintop again. And here's what I said to myself. I just said, Danny, if you just take one step at a time and you break it down into small, little goals, with each goal you hit, you'll be able to see yourself that much farther. So I said to myself, I'm going to save this much in my bank account. I'm going to get out of this much debt. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to get to this weight. I'm going to fix my health in this area. I'm going to work on my confidence in this area. And I made it small levels and very measurable. And I'm going to start doing more races. I'm going to start working on my fitness in this area or whatever, because you have to conquer yourself first before you're able to see where you really can go. And you have to take small steps, because it's walk a mile, see a mile, walk a mile, see a mile. It's you walk this mile, then you focus on the next mile. If you can't see the mountaintop, it's like I heard one time, when you're running, you don't look at the finish line. You look at the next object in your future and run to that, and then make the commitment to run to the next thing. So if you're down like I am, we'll just say like I am right now, set a small goal that's not where you want to be, but it's at least better than where you are right now. And that goes with what Aaron says about you first got to see that goal.
Yeah.
You got to see yourself there, but you can't just, it's not going to happen by osmosis. Meaning you can't just say, well, why don't you just start seeing yourself farther?
Right.
No, you got to take the steps to work on one step at a time, seeing yourself higher. If you're trying to run a marathon, look at 1 mile first. That's the best example. And it works the same way for business, for your relationships, for anything. Maybe if you want to fix a dating or a marriage relationship, just say, hey, we don't even talk, so let's see if at least one time this month we can have a date night, just us, and talk. Man, I can't see us ever being close like we were before. But can you see yourself being 1% closer?
Yes. No, that, and I love that, is I think, and I went through it with my relationship too, is like two years in, is kind of that breaking point where it tests you, is this going to work? Are we actually going to, because you go through that, like that honeymoon stage, and then it's like, okay, now things are getting real. And can I actually see a future with this person? So it's so true that I think a lot of people tend to give up. I think we live in this kind of complacent society that if things aren't working, I'll just give up and I'll just move on, and I'm not going to confront brutal reality and make some changes and fix some things. So, I mean, when you're in a relationship and you're having issues, don't just not talk about it. Don't just give up. You are there to work through things together. Like, you're there to grow as people, as a couple. So I know when in my relationship, there was a huge kind of disagreement about the whole faith topic. And anyone that knows my girlfriend, like, knows that she's very devout in her faith. And I absolutely love that about her, because if it wasn't for her, my faith would not be anywhere where it is today. Like, she was there to help coach me through it, and she didn't give up on me. It would have been so easy for her to just kind of throw in the towel and say, I'm going to give up and move on to another person who has their identity and faith right, on point, because that's such a big important part of a relationship. And for me, I was completely lost. I was contemplating becoming a utilitarian utopolist. And for those of you that don't know what that is, it's basically a church where, like,
you don't know what you believe.
Yeah, it's a bunch of these people that show up at church. They can be Buddhists, they can be monks, they can be Christians, they can be Catholics, they can be agnostics, they can be atheists, and you just all kind of like show up at this church. And that's what I thought I wanted, because I just thought like it was good to know all religions, and who am I to say that this is right? But then
we understand the arguments behind some of that, but that's not what we believe.
Right, right. And if you don't have a solid moral compass, then how are you living your life? Like, how are you living by? So going back to the point, in if you don't fix things, and if you just give up, you're never gonna grow as a person. So she was there all along the way to help coach me, and now, like, my faith is in a position where it's never been before. Like, I'm very strong in my faith. I'm working with my pastor now. I have that influence in my life of how important it is to know your identity in Christ. And it just goes back to not giving up. So many people, they give up and they throw in the towel. And I know that that's, you're not going to get anywhere if you just give up.
Yeah, definitely. And one of the things I really liked about the confronting brutal reality topic is that I actually kind of got that from the book that I've been listening to, The Can't Hurt Me, is he talks about something called the accountability mirror, where you walk up to a mirror and you just literally say to yourself what is wrong with your life. And that's another thing I did while I was on that walk, is I confronted that brutal reality of, Danny, because of the job changes and losing money and all that, your finances suck right now. Because of not taking your health seriously, you know, I was down about 17 pounds. I'm back up 10 pounds. Your health sucks right now. You look fat. You know what I mean? Like, you have to look in the mirror and just say, my marriage sucks. My faith life sucks. My business sucks. And my confidence sucks. You have to face brutal reality and literally call it like you see it. Because the only way to change something is to admit that something needs changed. And when you admit something needs changed and you humble yourself and you just say, okay, I don't have it all figured out, I need help, only at that point can you change. So I think that's the main message that we want to communicate here from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
No, I agree. I think all in all, it was an awesome trip. It's always good when we have those bro talks and we can just, I love the point that you made, Danny, about you need that someone in your life that you can just ask, what are my blind spots? And you know, like, I love conversation. I love mature conversations. I love conversations that, and we were just talking about this morning, that you can say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Am I off point on this? And if they say, yeah, you're off point, then you need to, like you said, humble yourself and acknowledge that, yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I do need some work. Maybe this isn't the right way. Maybe, like, you need to know that you don't have all the answers in the way. And especially when it comes to struggling with things personally, is we as human beings have a lot of blind spots that we don't see a lot of, maybe some things that might be holding us back. So it is key to have that one person in your life that you can go to and say, hey, what are some things I need to work on? What are some blind spots? Like, I know I'm not perfect, but I know that you're going to speak the truth in love. I love that that's something that our pastor always says, speaking the truth in love, because it's important to hear the truth. But you can't just throw up the truth all over someone and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. And I feel like that's how a lot of marriages become crippled, is you need to start taking out the trash more. You need to start doing the dishes more. Or you need to start making more money at work. Like, no. Speak the truth in love. Let's have an honest conversation. Let's sit down and say, look, these are some things that I'm struggling with. I feel like I'm overworked with the house responsibilities. Can you help with doing this? Can you help with alleviating that? If you come from a position of that versus just yelling at someone and throwing up the truth on them, you got to speak it with love.
And you can't just speak with love either. You got to speak the truth.
Correct.
So it's the formula is truth plus love. So you got to be able to confront the brutal reality and actually hear the truth and ask for the truth and give the truth, but it's just about how you deliver it.
So true.
So, challenge for you guys and gals. It's the body system. Find a buddy and a person in your life that you trust and just have the talk that we had sitting in the condo here with the ocean in the background after a run. Have the talk and just say, okay, tell you what, fine. I don't have the answers. What am I missing? What are my blind spots? I said those words as well.
Yeah.
And I bet you it will impact you greatly, and you'll have an aha moment like I did when you finally realize, wow, that really was a blind spot. You know what a blind spot is? It means you actually didn't see it.
Hence the word blind.
Spot.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah, I mean, we appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. I know that's something that Dan and I, we really want to get back into 2019. I know at the end of 2018, we kind of fell off the face of the planet, but we're ready to come back on the planet. I think this trip has really inspired us. I think doing this podcast has really inspired us to get kind of back in the mix. And we have a lot of cool things coming, a lot of higher value interviews scheduled that we know without a doubt you're going to love and gain a lot more insight on different areas of life.
Yeah, and we're not going to do anything fancy with this part, but I also want to give a shout out to the most recent review we got. It's from a person with their tag is Wild at Heart 87.
Good and tag name.
I know. I love it. We talked about the Wild at Heart book, so if you're listening, thank you for this review. The title of the review is Inspiring, Uplifting, and the review is, I love this podcast. Great content and speakers. Keep up the good work. So we appreciate you for that review. We would ask you if you could please, while you're listening to this, you can do it while you're listening to this.
Just not when you're driving.
Well, you can do it when you're driving.
Okay. And no, you I'm might get pulled over by a cop for reckless driving.
Literally, you just go to your iTunes account, go to your Stitcher account, or wherever you're listening to this. We prefer iTunes. And leave a review. Even if you just leave a star review, that helps. But we'd love if you could leave an actual written review, even if you just write something small. What that does, if you're a fan of this podcast, please, if you're a fan of this podcast, don't let the day go by without leaving a review. Because if you leave a review, it shows your support and it really helps our ratings on iTunes and it helps people to see this podcast when they're looking for podcasts with similar titles, similar themes, and it just would really help us out. So as always, we have a Facebook account for Fight the Current. We have an Instagram for Fight the Current. You can stay in touch with us through there. We have our own personal accounts at Aaron Thomas and Danny Campisi, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you have any, I'll just say advice, tips, if you have anyone you'd like us to interview, if you think of people in your life that you know are definitely fighting the current, definitely shoot us a message on our social media accounts, or if you have our phone numbers, call or text us and let us know, because like I said, we want to get on a consistent schedule. We want to do a lot of interviews this year. Some shows like this where it's just Aaron and I talking as well as interviews. So we look forward to seeing you guys in 2019. And let's all fight the current together. You've been listening to the Fight the Current podcast, your guide to living an extraordinary life in an ordinary world. We ask you to subscribe and review this podcast as it helps out a lot. We sincerely hope you've gotten value today, and if so, we would love to hear from you. Check out our Facebook and Instagram pages and our website at ftcmovement.com. Keep posted for our upcoming episodes, and until next time, swim upstream and fight the current.